Did you know you could sponsor Nerd and Tie? That's right. For just $20, we'd say your name here. We'd say something nice about you, and maybe in our minds, we would give you a high five. The highest of hypothetical high fives. All you have to do is go to nerdandtie.com, click on the sponsorship information, and follow the instructions. It's super fun and exciting, and you should want to join the group of people who do the thing.
On this Fortnite's edition of Nerd and Tie, Netflix has rescued Evangelion from licensing limbo. Kondrama hits hard with Lemon Brat Studios. And is Tumblr at risk? We'll discuss tonight. All that, your listener mail, and the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge on Nerd and Tie.
Woohoo!
Good heavens.
Bad heavens.
Ugly heaven.
Ah, hello, comely fellows. Welcome once again to another edition of Nerd and Tie.
Oh dear.
He says in his smoking jacket.
Yes, harumph. It is a great pleasure to have you in the Nerd and Tie study this fine evening. I am of course your regular host, Reginald Fop-ish man. This is terrible. I'm sorry.
The
I'm
bit's
Nick
gone
Azumi,
too long.
It's not Reginald Fopishman. It's Nick Azumi. I'm sorry. I'm really excited for another episode. Joining me in this descent into Drama Llama City is the remarkable Genjamin Proc.
Sup.
And the unstoppable Trey Dorn.
It is true. I cannot be stopped unless you ask me to, and then I will, because that's how consent works.
That's not fair.
Well, I mean, at least in me stopping moving for in most things, though, I should be going for a positive affirmation. Oh my God, I've ruined it from the beginning. Oh,
it's okay.
Let's not describe people as unstoppable anymore.
Okay, I guess.
Unless they don't have brakes in their car, then you can call those people unstoppable. But they're not people. Trains. Mm. Trains can also be unstoppable. Squirrels.
Megatron. Except he gets stopped like on a weekly basis.
I was
going to
say.
Maybe
yeah.
That's not a great example.
Oh my God. Anyway. It's a show.
We have a lot of interesting topics tonight. And like I said, I'm kind of calling this the Drama Llama Farm because there is so much drama all over this. And I guess, why don't we dive into our first topic already? This is one of the weird,
in the headlines.
This is one of the weirder pieces of, news hitting the headlines. Yeah. After being in licensing limbo for nearly a decade, after the closure of ADV Films, a weird legal battle in Japan where the rights to this series were floating back and forth and no one wanted to try to untangle this complicated legal web, the classic anime series Neon Genesis Evangelion has been rescued from that licensing limbo, and it is being picked up by really the only people who I think had the money to sort through this nonsense, Netflix.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised that they're the ones who did it, but they do have the resources.
Well, and as I was kind of hinting at there, the problem that Ava faced is that not just that, like a lot of anime that were licensed by ADV Films, it went into licensing limbo when ADV fell apart in the late aughts. But more depressingly, in Ava's case, it was at the center of a pretty ugly legal dispute between Gainax, the original studio that produced it, and Kara, the studio started by the director and creator of the show, Hideaki Anno. And for a cute way of seeing how that legal battle kind of unfolded, all you need to do is look at the spines of the Evangelion manga, which for the first like 9 or so volumes are all by Studio Gainax. And then around 10, 11, it's by Gainax and Kara. And then for the last 2 volumes, it's just by Kara. So that's been a kind of a legal nightmare. But yeah, now one of the, I don't feel I'm using hyperbole when I say this, one of the greatest anime of all time is going to be available on Netflix. And I'd call that a win.
Yeah, unfortunately, so will the movies.
Yeah.
I hate End of Evangelion. I think that regardless of intent, I think that the series finale of the television show is the best way to end that series, and nothing else was... I think everything I saw after Instrumentality was not worth it.
I have mixed feelings about End of Evangelion, because I like the TV ending more, but there's a lot of beautiful visuals in End of Evangelion that I'm glad exist.
It feels like the whole thing just undoes Shinji's character arc.
And that's because it does.
Yeah. And it effectively was... we don't need to talk about that, because that would be a whole... We're going to at some point do an episode in which we argue about Evangelion for an hour, and that's fine.
I'll also admit that... part of End of Evangelion lost some magic when I realized how much of it was taken whole cloth from Devilman.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Like, not even kidding.
Well, in any case, I think it's exciting that another generation will finally be able to see the original version, because obviously there have been these, the remake.
Yeah, the rebuild movies have been out in print forever, basically since Funimation picked them up. They've been in constant print.
Yeah, I think that the original series is there's a lot of value to it. It's a revolutionary series in using the way they use 3D modeling to base the animation off of, with, you know, still actually drawing the thing instead of just showing a 3D model of something.
Mm-hmm.
you know, but they still like the way, like, the action is amazing. I think there are things that are due to the limitations of budget that actually make the show better than when you don't have, you know, that when you have an unlimited budget, you know,
there's some terrifying sequences in that series that are just still shots.
Yeah. Yeah.
There, you know, yeah. When you really think about it, it's just a camera pointed at a drawing that no animation has been done to, but the way that it's framed and the use of lighting it scratches at your soul.
Yeah, and I think that's something that you really lose when you leave the 90s. You know, it's 90s anime had a lot of that. Serial Experiments Lanes has a lot of still images that were, you know, arguably, you know, just that way because of budget. I mean, we know that they, you know, so they could save money and put it elsewhere, but it also means that the money is judiciously used. Like, and it makes those scenes that are more visually moving, therefore feel like they have more weight. I think that there's an argument for stillness.
And it's also worth noting, like, pre-2000 some Anno, the director Hideaki Anno, was miserable at budgeting shows.
Yeah.
Evangelion is only one example in his long track record of misbudgeting a multi-episode series and then having the last episode be extremely minimalist to make up for the fact that there isn't a budget anymore.
I guess my one concern with the Netflix adaptation is that they might is because they can't use the ADV dub.
Mm-hmm.
That they are going to not bring back the original. Because the nice thing about like the rebuild movies is that as much as I have like, I necessarily like, I'm not super fond of them. They did bring back like a lot of the original cast for the rebuild movies for the English dub.
I have reservations about them too, but yeah, they got most of the original cast back. At least
right.
Allison Keith, Spike Spencer, and Tiffany Grant. Anyway, yeah.
Well, the ones they could get.
Right.
And you know, it's as a longtime Ava fan, you know, as like those are the I had an interesting experience when I watched Ava. I watched some of it in dub and some of it in subtitled when I watched it. So like there are some episodes I've never seen dubbed. I've seen the entire series more than once, but there are some episodes I've never seen dubbed and some episodes I've never seen subtitled. Just because of what tapes people had. But the show, like it's a really, really, really identifiable English dub cast. Now the
it's also one of the only dubs from that era that holds up.
Now the
like if you ask me.
But the problem with the Ava dub, and well, the Ava dub was really like the first was not necessarily the first, but one of the first really like good dubs, where
fair.
Like Tiffany Grant does. I don't know if I necessarily like Spike as much as Shinji. As the original voice actor, but I like Tiffany Grant far more as Asuka. Like her voice is the voice of Asuka in my head, especially since she pronounces the German better. like it's so I like they can't use the ADV dub for. I don't know if they just chose not to license it, but also the ADV dub was done to a slightly different edit of the show than the final. Home video release, which is
and,
what because
yeah,
they were
Netflix
dubbing that show
the nice Blu-ray masters of
right.
everything, so.
And they couldn't use that because the home video what often happens with anime that the home video version is just slightly different than the broadcast version, but that's why like I think if I might I think I'm right that if you watch ADV's DVD release, like it's actually different video files for the dub than if you watch it subtitled.
I'll have to double check that. On the first DVD release, I want to say you're right.
Yeah.
On the Platinum Edition, which was the cleaned up version that was released, although it was before the Blu-ray remaster, but what was the nicest remaster at that point? I think it was the same video master. But
well, then they would have had to like retime all the dub, like they probably took the raw files and like just realigned them with the mouth movements because you couldn't. It's just not, like you
probably.
You can't cut and paste that audio track.
Right.
But it's also just entirely possible that they couldn't license the ADV audio even if they wanted to.
Yeah. What with ADV in their. ADV having fallen apart, and also the whole they produced that with a legal contract with Gainax, not with Kara. And again, Gainax does not own Evangelion anymore.
Right, and that's why it's like you'll see this all the time, where when shows get relicensed, that they have to redub it. When a new licensor gets a show, they redub the series. It's a famous example is the Totoro.
Mm-hmm.
Anime
News Network just ran a really interesting article about that.
Yeah, where it's I've only watched the original Totoro dub, which was it Fox.
That has Carl Masek as Totoro.
Yeah,
that's the cat bus. The critters. Carl frickin' Masek is the critters in that one.
Like, I've watched the re-release, but I always watched it with the Japanese audio when I watched, like, the second release. So the only dub I've ever watched of Totoro is on a VHS tape. So it's, you know.
The changes to dubs, it's weird. I'm hoping. Now, I first heard about this change in the English cast from actually an email from Tiffany Grant, because she's trying to drum up whatever support she can.
Yeah, as a member of the original voice cast.
Mm-hmm. And I know she's pushing for there's a she sent a petition that's kind of going around, and I know I shared it, to keep the original cast intact, or at least as much as possible. Yeah. Preferably, honestly.
Honestly, I just want Tiffany Grant. I'm not gonna lie. I just want Tiffany Grant as Asuka. That's
if I'm gonna be real, I would really like Tiffany. Obviously, Tiffany should return because she is just one of the highlights of that English version. I'd love Allison Keith to come back as Misato, though. It would be great to hear Amanda Wynn Lee back as Rey, partly because she helped adapt scripts and direct on that series. You know, she,
yeah,
frankly, well, she deserves it.
And Netflix can afford her, goddammit.
Were you going to say something again?
Not really. You guys are covering all the stuff.
The only other thought I had in that regard is I know the a bunch of the dubs that I've listened to on Netflix, admittedly, it seems to change depending on what the show is, where the studio is that they record at. But a couple of the recent ones, like Lost Song, I heard a bunch of actors who I know work in the Dallas area. And considering that that's where the old Evangelion staff live and do most of their voice work, hopefully they will consider still recording in the Dallas area and just at least getting the main four characters back.
Yeah.
Because we've had a couple English Gendos. We've had, I think, three English Kaorus at this point. But I think especially Asuka, Misato, Shinji, and Rei should be the same.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so there's a change.org petition
mm-hmm.
out there to try to bring back the original cast. And we'll link that. I'll link that in the show notes I'll link that in the show notes. So if you want to sign and, you know, do it.
Do it.
Can't hurt.
Do it. But yeah, so that I think that about covers it for right there. I think we're gonna I think it's about time we move on to another interesting bit of drama in also related to anime, sort of.
But in the convention scene.
Yes. Here in the convention scene, we had a bit of a shocking turn of events. Lemon Brat, a regular vendor of the anime con scene, especially in the Midwest, you've probably run into them somewhere. It was clarified just this last week that they are filing suit against a former employee and former con runner Corey Wood.
Well, current con runner, but
oh, I thought he stepped down.
Well, he runs more than one con.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. To quote from the basically on Monday, Lemon Brat released that as of November 28th. They are no longer affiliated with Wood, and that he no longer works with them, asking people to contact them directly. Later on, through our own research with Cook County, the records office say that Wood was discovered establishing separate Square accounts for Lemon Brat.
We should clarify that Lemon Brat is alleging that Corey.
Yeah, I'm sorry. This is all alleged.
Yeah,
this
and we actually we had multiple people send this to us through our tip email, and yeah.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Yes, the lawsuit is real, but this is all alleged. This should not. That was my bad, and I apologize. Journalistic screw up there.
But yeah, so it's Corey Wood was the financial manager from 2013 until November of 2018, for Lemon Brett. And Lemon Brett's alleging that Wood set up a separate Square account and was using his own account while at conventions. And it's a big complicated thing. This would normally just be like some employee somewhere, but Corey Wood, who, full disclosure, I'm Facebook friends with him. He's more of like, we've met at several conventions and interacted socially a couple of times. So it's, up until a few days ago, and we'll get to that, he was the con chair for Milwaukee, but he also operates his own convention company, which includes the upcoming Aquatifer Furry Convention in the Twin Cities in January. He also was the former head of Anime Apocalypse in its last year, and he runs a number of events under his own company. It's Anime Milwaukee. He runs some for-profit conventions under his own company, but I don't know if he's still on staff at Anime Central, but was historically. And then he was the con chair for Anime Milwaukee. Now, the lawsuit was actually filed on November 15th, but Lemon Brett didn't make any public statements about this until Monday of this week, which was December 3rd. On December 4th, after we initially published an article on NerdandTie.com talking about this, Anime Milwaukee made a public statement. Anime Milwaukee, while Mr. Wood does run several events under his own company, his position as con chair for Anime Milwaukee. Anime Milwaukee is run by an independent nonprofit. I'm friends with one of the co-founders, who's also on my Facebook friends list. Anime Milwaukee has announced that Wood would at least be temporarily stepping down from his position as con chair, and that they were going to do an investigation of their own financial records. They made that public announcement on Tuesday, December 4th. And so we're recording this on Wednesday, December 5th, and there doesn't seem to be any new information besides that. Obviously, Mr. Wood is still in charge of the conventions that he owns, including Aquatifer. It's a weird situation. These are really serious allegations that Lemon Brett has brought forward, and frankly, if proven true civilly, there's an argument for a criminal case for amounts. And this is not like, I don't want to make any statements regarding, you know, whether or not I think that these have weight, because obviously it's a really tricky situation.
We don't know. Obviously don't know.
But both Lemon Brett and Corey Wood are based in Cook County, Illinois. It's filed in the Chancery Division. We've got the case number up on our previous article that we wrote about this Tuesday. So this is a kind of a huge allegation to level at someone. And so
And when I first read the numbers they were putting out.
Oh yeah, like, they're saying it may be $40,000 that he stole.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what they're saying he took. That's what Lemon Brett is saying he took, and if that's true, that is just absolutely staggering.
Yeah.
Yeah, because yikes.
Yeah. And so, I mean, like, this is clearly going to be a case that we're going to follow as closely as we can, because it has pretty serious allegations across the Midwestern con scene, especially in the furry con scene, where Mr. Wood is very active. And so it's, I mean, just a power shift like that at a convention like Anime Milwaukee. Like, even just him temporarily stepping down, you know, regardless of the veracity of the allegations, him stepping down as head of AMPKE is a huge thing. He's been in charge for a lot of years there.
As long back as I can remember.
Yeah, it's like it's like, I know Momo was still in charge in like 2008, I think. but he, like, so Anime Milwaukee is a nonprofit organization that was started by a bunch of college, like, it's run by a nonprofit that was initially started by a bunch of students at UW-Milwaukee. And the first couple of years were held on their campus. When they started growing too much, a bunch of staffers joined from the Anime Central staff and kind of filled out what they needed because they were expanding way faster than the existing staff was ready to handle. And so those, and Corey Wood came over to Anime Milwaukee as part of that group of people, which is why he's you know, he lives in Illinois and not in Milwaukee. It's Anime Milwaukee is the largest anime convention in the state of Wisconsin, arguably the large. I don't know what numbers some of, like, what Wizard World does, but I think it's true that Anime Milwaukee is still the biggest fandom convention in Wisconsin right now. And so it's to this, like, regardless of whether or not he did anything wrong, it's, and again, we don't know yet. Honestly, we haven't even gotten to read, like, a raw copy of the filing yet. It's, we've only gotten to read what the summary written by someone else. So, but even with that aside, because if this thing turns out to be true, it's going to be even bigger, and yeah, that could be a whole thing. But even if it's him stepping down temporarily, is going to be a shift for an organization like AMPKEYS. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
And so it's, I think it's going to be really important to watch what happens with that event. Obviously, I believe AMPKEYS is going to be fine no matter what, because it is still an independent, you know, nonprofit, and their largest concern is to make sure that there was no financial malfeasance involving their funds. But, like, this is this could have an impact, and so I think it's going to be a situation we're going to have to watch closely.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Whew. Yeah, I'm really think it's going to be interesting what happens with, like, an event like Aquatifer or, like, some, you know, some of his other stuff. Because Aquatifer is run in the Wisconsin Dells and is a much newer convention. This is only their second year, I think.
Oh, geez.
And so, their first year they were at the Kalahari, and then they moved to the Chula Vista in the Wisconsin Dells starting this year. And I was already planning on paying close attention. It's full disclosure, I'm on staff for No Brand Con, Wisconsin's longest running anime convention, and we also were held in the spring at the Chula Vista. So honestly, it's as I'm No Brand Con's events manager, I was hoping to pay attention to see what Aquatifer does in that hotel so I could, you know, steal any of their good ideas.
as
but,
you do.
But so it's gonna be interesting to see what happens there, because lawsuits are expensive. And so again, it's as I very well am aware. But you know, it's because Corey owns Aquatifer, you know, Corey Wood's personal finances are going to affect what he can do with that event. So it's, I think it's gonna be, I think it's it, because regardless of, you know, of whether he did it, it's gonna be an expensive process, and so it's gonna be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, it's hope for the best, I guess.
Whenever someone says hope for the best, the theme to 12 Chairs starts going through my head.
Oh, dear.
Hope for the best, expect the worst. Some drink champagne, some die of thirst. No way of knowing which way is going. Hope for the best, expect the worst. Sorry.
Died. Okay.
I think, so should we move on to our big topic?
Well, why don't we move on to the big topic, our discussion topic for this week.
Speaking of hoping for the best and expecting the worst.
The good folks at Tumblr released their new content policy this last week, and included on it was some pretty strong regulation of what they are calling NSFW content. And they are apparently doing a big crackdown on this content starting, if I'm not mistaken, December 17th.
December 17th, yep.
Yep. So just a few more days during this very month. And with these changes, some people are concerned, some rightly so, some maybe not so much, and already there are people saying, well, this is it. This is the death of Tumblr. And that's what we're going to discuss tonight. Is Tumblr actually dying? Or is this, how bad are these changes? And what can we expect from this site as the future moves forward?
Yeah. It's so to give a little bit of background, this content policy change is something that's like people, more and more has come out about this since over the last couple of days. So,
right.
Obviously Tumblr was founded originally as an independent company, and then in 2013, Yahoo bought them. Yahoo tried, threw more ads up, but for the most part, besides a couple of missteps of, classifying LGBTQ content as adult only or things like that. Mostly
a similar mistake that YouTube also made.
They largely left the creators alone, but until about a year ago when Verizon bought Yahoo. And Verizon has never, and its sources are coming from people who worked for the company, the Verizon's never really been comfortable with Tumblr. And for the last 6 months, they've been talking about trying to lock down on not safe for work content and banning adult material from Tumblr behind the scenes. What happened, though, is at a long term, they were planning on taking longer to implement this, but a month ago, Apple yanked the Tumblr app from the App Store for iOS devices. And that kind of moved their timetable up, it turns out, because there was a child pornography issue that got reported to Apple, and Apple pulled it because Apple is notoriously anti-sex, but also child porn is bad. Now, mind you, users on the site have been complaining to Tumblr staff for years about child porn bots, and also, white supremacists on the website. Tumblr also has kind of an important role in the fact that it's one of the few social networks where sex workers felt safe posting stuff and using the service for their blogs.
Right.
It's now also to give more information here. This is your info dump before the discussion here. Out of content produced on Tumblr, only 1% of it. The things that are banned, while technically text erotica is supposed to still be okay, artistic depiction of nudity is supposed to be okay as long as no sex acts are depicted, artistic, and then photographic nudity is banned, and then obviously any overt visual sex imagery. Text-based erotica is still allowed under the new policy, theoretically.
This also included my favorite bit of trying to be inclusive of female presenting nipples.
Yeah, a corporation attempting phrasing to sound woke. That's why I've posted to my blog repeatedly a picture of Leslie Knope in Parks and Rec presenting someone a bag of rubber nipples, as it is literally a female presenting nipples. Also some stats on the not safe for work content really only makes up 1% of Tumblr's actual content, but analytics have shown that it makes up about 20% of visitors to the service. So even though that's still a minority, it's an extreme minority in content creation, it is not a it is still a sizable percentage of Tumblr's traffic and user base. The only reason why people talk about Tumblr as being this big porn, you know, place for, you know, porn and not safe for work content is not because it was the majority of content on the site, but because it was one of the few sites where people who were posting that material could do so. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's the Cliff's Notes of the situation. I think I ran through that enough now. At least for me, like, now there's some really ridiculous stuff. Tumblr has the Tumblr staff has employed a bot to identify pornographic materials and is allowing people to review it to, like, counterclaim, and it has been flagging the most ridiculous stuff as pornographic.
I think my favorite one was this article about these UK scientists who were training a separate bot to look for nudity, and it kept mistaking sand dune pictures for nudity, and it got flagged.
Yeah,
like
the
post
about
it
got flagged.
Yeah, flagged.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Yeah, it's been ridiculous. A lot of content. I am. Oh, so this content thing has completely broken Tumblr. So if you have any posts that are flagged as pornographic, if you get them reviewed, it actually moves it to the first page of your blog, even if it was like from 8 months ago. So I have a friend who had a lot of her art flagged that she got it reviewed and cleared, but like the first three pages of her blog are all like old posts now because they've broken Tumblr in this, like, just the system itself. Like, I'm not even, like, they literally broke the site in many respects to do this. There's also, like, they've also purged the tags. Like, Tumblr has a tag system where you can, you tag your posts and you can search the whole post for the tags. Obviously, you know, many other social networks have this, but they've purged anything, they've purged the tag from anything, like, involving, like, close to anything nude or anything like that, but like it also means that a lot of perfectly innocent posts can't be found now. And
right.
even though the site is supposed to explicitly ban hate speech, which has been in effect for a year, that hate speech ban, you can still find plenty of Nazis.
Oh yeah, just like Twitter.
Yep.
Yeah, it's insane. You know, we have all these things protect the children from, you know, naked breasts, but we gotta let the white genocide folks,
yeah,
the people who think that's a real thing, like, run around free.
Yeah. Well, and it's Tumblr, like. The problem is that, like, their post reporting methods for, like, actual, like, violating content and stuff like that, is widely seen as, like, having, like, being nowhere near at the level of what every other social network has, because just the money hasn't been put into it. There's a lot of Tumblr which has just been kept running as a site base without really any back end updating that everyone else has, because, you know, it's Verizon wants to turn Tumblr into a place where they can try to hold on to all of this fandom traffic and other stuff and find ways to monetize it. And they don't want Tumblr. What they want is a sanitized, weird version which doesn't really have the edge that Tumblr had, which is what makes Tumblr appealing. Now, does that mean Tumblr can be profitable? No, but the fact, you know, maybe it can't be. But the fact is that, like, it's, like, first off, you know, a lot of the porn on Tumblr was created by women for women.
Right.
Which is, Like, it's the Verizon made a statement in which, like, they were like, there are plenty of places to find porn on the internet, except there are plenty of places to find porn aimed at men on the internet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a much stronger, like, base for women, and for that matter, LGBT folks on Tumblr specifically.
Yeah. And so there is no home for a lot of this content. It's also, like, if you, a lot of this is, like, is going to, there are people who are going to leave the site. And the fact is that Tumblr is, like, I don't know how to describe it, but it's, like, it's one of the places that, like, a lot of internet culture actually drives from. Like, I know between the three of us, I'm probably the only one who is still heavily active there.
Yeah, I still use mine, but not, yeah.
Yeah, but again, you've pretty much been off Tumblr for a while.
I still browse it.
Oh, you still, well, but you never post.
I never post anything anywhere. I'm the worst social media person ever. I just sit there and lurk all the time on everything. Yeah.
Like, it's, fair. But I engage a lot with, like, witchcraft stuff on Tumblr, because I'm a witch, but... Listen to Bullshit Free Witchcraft, available on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify. Anyways, I'm heavily involved in the witch community there, and it's where, like, I've been reaching out, and it's the easiest place to do that, and there's not really a lot of other social networks. And the fact is that even if you don't use Tumblr, like, if you're listening to this show, I bet you if you listen to this show and you use Facebook, about... 10% to a quarter of your feed are screenshots from Tumblr.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's the most irritating thing, by the way, in my mind, because, like, Tumblr blogs are all blogs, which means every single one of those posts has its own page, like a dedicated public web page of that post. And instead of linking to that person's post, like, this isn't like Twitter where it's all just a short message. Like, these are actual, like, it's a blog. And so instead of linking to people's blogs, people just steal the content. And that drives me nuts as a content creator in so many ways. Like, the lack of respect on social media for that. But, you know, that's just me being angry. And then I'll go reblog a screenshot of a Twitter post and be a hypocrite. But still, like, if you want to be on Tumblr, man, not be on Facebook. Sorry. This is also frustrating for me that, like, if something happens to Tumblr and it goes away, like, that's the social network I'm most active on. My Twitter is, I've actually purposely, like, not been on Twitter as much anymore. Like, I still make occasional posts, but most of it's just automated updates to my various websites. And then with the occasional, like, important thought, but most of the, like, I don't really read Twitter anymore because, Twitter had been so toxic, and even though there's a lot of toxicity on Tumblr still, like, if you look for it, like the white supremacists and things like that, it's easier to avoid it on Tumblr. You know what I mean? Like,
I can see that.
Also, no one can see who you follow or who follows you on Tumblr. I mean, you can put on your blog who you follow. Like, I think my current layout lists who I follow, but you can also choose to hide that, and no one can see who follows you. Like, it's, your follower counts are completely private on Tumblr, which I think is kind of, like, a nice feature, because it means that, you know, people's posts have to stand on their own. I mean, like, I don't have a huge number of followers on Tumblr. I've got, like, 400.
I don't have a huge following myself. I mean, again, I don't use mine as much as I used to.
Yeah.
But...
Well, frankly, though, like, I've been on Tumblr for a very long time, like, since, you know, maybe 2008. I made an account long before I ever posted anything, just because I'm dedicated to, like, getting my name on every service I can get. Because there was one time when I didn't, and someone else took my name, and I know who he is, Colin. Colin, I know who you are. Anyways, but, so, like, I set up the account years before I started using a service, but I've had that account for a long time. But, like, I've, like, doubled my followers in the last year. And so it's like, I'm finally getting a following. Like, there's momentum, and they're going to kill it. I'm never going to be a social media superstar. I'm okay with that. But, you know, Like, it's... I finally found, like, the people I want to follow and finally, you know, found good active accounts, and it's just they're going to kill it. Like, it's... Verizon is so tone-deaf to the community, and they want to find a way to profit off of it. Like, they want to kick off certain elements so they can sell more ads, but the problem is that, like, they have these target goals for increasing users, except this entire... The way they've handled this not-safe-for-work content ban, like, the way they've been doing this, has been such a PR nightmare that there's no way that they're going to hit their increased user targets that they've set. It's just, it's, yeah.
Well, the thing that I find funny, and maybe this just shows a messed up person I am. The main thing that I find funny comes from something that isn't funny at all, which is, a lot of people who produce what could be considered pornographic or at the very least NSFW art have been very worried about losing their space to publish their work in. And for some of them, that's, you know, that's their life. That's their life. That's their income.
Yeah.
And so that comes from a very sad place, but in a... From a place that kind of amuses me, it's been interesting seeing, like, websites like Pornhub making a big deal out of the fact that they would be very welcoming to these NSFW artists, and the image of, like, within the next year going to cons and half the artists in the artist alley having links to their Pornhub page,
right?
Just cracks me up.
It's entirely possible. Well, it's so... Like, we've seen this happen before. It's the joke is when people used to ask me what Tumblr was, I would tell them it was Hipster Live Journal. Because it is. I mean, it's the same, but, you know, it's all these communities used to be on Live Journal. And Live Journal, for those of you who are too young to remember, it still exists, but it's owned by the Russians now, and you don't want to go there. I'm not kidding. You created a blog. And then you could follow other blogs, which would show up then in your friends' feed instead of a dashboard. But it was, it had, the difference is that it had more robust commenting than, you couldn't reblog things. You would just make a post. You couldn't reblog things, but it had a robust comment system. So that's, but that used to be the home of pretty much all of these communities. Live Journal used to be their home on the internet until they started cracking down on NSFW content. And then when they slowly communities started migrating over to Tumblr when it was created in 2007. And then when a Russian corporation bought Live Journal and pretty much made some pretty bad comments about LGBTQ content, it's most of everybody else pretty much jumped off the site over to Tumblr once enough people were there. The problem, and so it's not that, like, we can't live in a world without Tumblr. If Tumblr dies, Tumblr will die. But the problem is that there's no next site yet. Like, I've seen people talk about, like, Pillowfort and all this stuff, but, like, I don't think any of these are there yet. There isn't a next Tumblr yet. And Tumblr was the next Live Journal, and now we need the next thing. And none of the products I've seen are really there yet. And so... I don't know where people are going to go yet. Like, it's there's clearly a way to make money off of this community. Like, it's happened before, but I don't know.
Right.
I think that it would be nice if we could have a new place to go, but we don't, that doesn't exist yet. I don't know. Again,
no,
what
I know
do you
exactly
think?
Exactly what you mean.
Yeah, I mean, I've also seen these talks about, like, oh, go to this site, go to this site, go to this site. We'll just kind of have to see how it goes. It'll be interesting. Like, I'm definitely going to be one of these people who stays till the very end just to see how it dies because I'm so flippin' curious.
Yeah.
Agreed. Oh, there's so much art that I have, like, just in my favorites. Oh, God. Sorry.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we're gonna have to go through it all and like save what we want to save, you know,
and links to who made it for that matter, because
For sure,
yeah,
probably rediscover a lot of stuff. The biggest worry that I'm hearing is a lot of artists have a lot of content on their blogs, on their Tumblr blogs, that is gonna get disappeared.
There is a tool to export your content, by the way. I want to be clear, is that while it will disappear from the internet, if you are and I will say this, if you are an artist, regardless of whether you've ever done Not Safe for Work content or not, and your art is stored on Tumblr and you think you don't have access to some of the originals of that art, you should 100% use their export tool to export a copy of your content.
Yeah.
Do it immediately. It's... Yeah. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, it's fine. I mean, it's just, it's the end of a weird year.
Weird is such a
slow down.
Like, I mean, guys.
Weird is so charitable, I'm sorry.
Solo came out this year.
Black Panther came out this
Black
year.
Black Panther came out in 2018.
Like, it's so crazy.
That's how long this year has been.
Yeah.
I was going to make an observation, but I don't know how much of our audience hasn't seen Infinity War, and it's a big spoiler.
Do you guys remember the clowns?
I thought the clowns were last year.
Were the clowns last year?
I think the clowns were last
year. I'm pretty sure the clowns were last year, but I don't even know anymore.
Only because I think they were in the fall. And so I think they had to have been last year.
Okay,
Tide Pods this year or last year? They're like
Tide Pods were still a thing this year, but less notable. Remember fidget spinners?
Yeah, that was a thing that came and went.
Like those are largely a last year thing, but it feels like it was 10 years ago.
Last year feels like it was 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's Nerd and Tie. Nerd and Tie has been on your MP3 playing devices since 2013. That was about, so we had our first, you know, four and a half years, and then this has been the following 10.
Yep.
I mean, God, like, you want to get even weirder, like, look at the anime community. It feels like only yesterday that people were discussing whether or not Darling in the Franxx was a garbage fire, and now we're just explaining to internet Nazis that Crunchyroll didn't make up a trans character in Zombieland Saga. Sigh.
This year's taken forever.
Yeah, it has.
And so,
by the way, for audience at home, in case you didn't know, I've actually lost 3 vehicles this year. 2 within the last 3 months.
Nick was in a car accident a few days ago.
Yeah.
There's a go find his GoFundMe. Oh, 2018, what a garbage fire.
Yeah, no kidding. F this year.
Hey, one good thing happened. We did well in the election.
This is true. I'll take it.
Yeah. Well,
I'll take it.
So, you know, it just keeps happening, man. Like, we're going to have to do our, like, in a couple of weeks, we're going to have our, like, maybe, I don't know if we're doing it next episode or the week after that, just depending on how it times out. But we're going to be doing our annual year in review, and I don't even know how we're going to do that.
God, movies for best and worst of the year is going to be insane this year, especially when you consider that we still have a Spider-Man and a potentially good Transformers movie coming out before this year is over.
Right. It's
just throwing that out there.
Like, because I don't know when we're going to record that, because in theory, New Year's Eve is our scheduled record date for, we have that as a scheduled record date, but I don't know. I assume we all want to do something New Year's Eve.
Yeah, I'm going to be.
Maybe we'll pre-record before we release.
Becoming the wisest wizard.
May ye rival Gandalf again.
Yeah.
Let's hope my staff gets as big. For those of you who don't know, the Wisest Wizard is a drinking game with beer cans, where once you drink a beer, you then attach the empty cans together in a staff, and the Wisest Wizard has the longest staff.
And Den shall be Gandalf.
I'm gonna try. That shouldn't be a goal. No, that's not a goal. That's not a good goal, Gen.
That's not a good goal.
Look what this year has done to me.
I just want a vehicle for like a year or longer. That's all I'm asking for.
Oh dear. Oh.
Actually, I want these financial woes to go away, and then once those are gone, I want a vehicle for a year or longer. Okay.
Bought a car for $500. That car lasted exactly 1 year. That's a car I bought when my van broke down. Like, my van was no longer street legal to drive that I was driving at the time. I eventually scrapped it, and did the fun illegal drive from my apartment to the scrapyard because it operated. It just wasn't legal for the streets. But I had to buy a car to go to work. And so I bought a car for $500 because it was a car that I could buy in one paycheck.
Gotcha.
Because I've never been good at saving. And so it was, it's a car you can buy in one paycheck is the right amount of car. And I drove that car when I first moved to Indiana from Eau Claire. And I was still working out of the office in Eau Claire during the week. And so I drove that 1996 Ford Escort from Lafayette to Eau Claire and back multiple times. That car did not have cruise control, by the way. So that can be anywhere. It's about a 9-hour drive.
Jeez.
And so imagine doing that 9-hour drive. My right calf was very defined after those weeks.
I can imagine.
So anyways, we should probably move on to the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge.
Let us approach the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge. We don't have anything in the mailbag, right?
No mailbag this episode. So remember, if you want us to read your mail on the show, if you go to nerdandtech.com/contact, fill out that form reform, and we will say it out loud if you want us to. Or you can call us at 414-375-0480 and leave a voicemail, and we will play that audio here. But with nothing in the mailbag, that means we go straight to the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge. And the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge is the part of the show where I read to you a line from a book. And the challenge to you, the listener, is to guess or figure out what book I'm reading from. If you send in the correct answer, you get included in the Hall of Awesome. The benefits of the Hall of Awesome are as follows. 1, we read your name aloud every episode right here on the show, or an alias. 2, we list that same name on our website. And 3, nothing else. Just nothing else. Just be happy with the free stuff. It's a game, guys. Anyways,
yeah, geez.
The current members of the Hall of Awesome are as follows. Arkhamai, Zero, Rin and Ascenti, Cheesy McDamu, Krista, Slithery D, Shameless Otaku, The Random Ramblings Band, Corfant, Capito, Chris Graham, Lily Source, Paper Godzilla, Cavsey, The Minnesota Librarian, Sean Orange, Keith Shizuo, and Sakura Sunset. All right, now I have the book in front of me that we've been using for a while now, and I'm going to open up to a random page. And the line for you is, I want to try to find something that's not too hard and not too easy. Here we go. Our destinies once and for all fulfilled. The circle of our lives is now complete. A student was I when I left thee last. If you know what book that's from, go to nerdandtie.com/contact. Fill it out. Put it in there. Give us your answer and what you want us to call you on the website. And take a shot. Or if you have anything else you'd like to say to us, and as said, we would read it aloud in our mailbag segment. Again, nerdandtie.com/contact or 414-375-0480 is the phone number to leave a voicemail. And let us know what's in your heart, what's in your soul, what's in your mind, what's in your back pocket right now. I don't think it's what you think it is. Check. Be sure. Look out behind you.
I'm just amused because even before you told us behind the scenes what you were reading from, I knew what it was because it was a gift that I gave people for their graduations for like an entire year. And I'm just amused by that. All right. It has been a pleasure speaking with all of you nerds and Thai aficionados this lovely fortnight. As always, I'm Nick Izumi.
I'm Trey Dorn.
I'm the Genjamin.
And remember, you can follow this show on social media, on Twitter at NerdandTie, on Tumblr, nerdandtie.tumblr.com, on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdandtie. Subscribe to the show using iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify. I don't know what accent I just started doing there, or anything that takes an RSS feed.
A weird one.
We're in a bunch of stuff. Remember, you can financially support the show either by sponsoring us through the sponsor link on nerdandtie.com, or you can support our legal fund at gofundme.com/nerdandtie, or you can support us on Patreon individually. I'm patreon.com/TREGORN. Nick is patreon.com/NICKIZUMI. Gen doesn't have a Patreon, but Gen, you can support by buying from her Etsy store. Or whatever. Ocelot Dude Designs. Just Google that. You'll find it. Or she also has a coffee link at coffee.com/Genjamin. Look in your heart. Look in your soul. Look behind you. And when in doubt, Nick,
keep on Spockin' in the free world.
That's what he said. Do 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 do. Verizon bought the hell site and then doesn't want the hell site. And I just
yeah.
Man, it's just in my heart. It just hurts. In this case, we really do mean sound the alarm. Or we don't. I don't know. It's a show, boys and girls and other people.